Good evening.
Good evening, Jeff.
I appreciate the opportunity again for the elders that allowed me to speak to you this evening. And it's even more of a privilege to have my family here as well, so. Especially Chris, good to see you again. There's a text in the Bible that's always kind of gave me pause to think about. And that text comes from Matthew. Let me get this guy on. Yeah, let's see if we get this guy on. I always have trouble with this.
Is it your remote?
Yeah, I've got the remote on. Oh, okay, I got it. Okay. Comes from Matthew. Chapter 18. And it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he, being Jesus, called a child to himself and said, and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest of heaven." And also in Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So I got to wondering, what does that mean? What did Jesus mean when he said that you must become like children? Shouldn't we be adults? Shouldn't we be mature? Well, what does it mean to become like children? What particular traits do children have that we should have in order to enter heaven? So, there could be many, but I've selected a mere 12. But don't be scared. This is twice as many points as Trace this morning. But I promise you I'll end by midnight. So, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But there were some I pared down, so promise. Okay. Well, for one, children are very quick to forgive. Anyone who's ever been around children as they watch them interact and play among each other, they get mad and they just forget things just as easily. They, you know, fight like cats, and then in no time flat, it's forgotten. Or forgiven, and with children, for the most part, it's forgotten. I mean, we can't do that. We don't do that with adults. But children can. So I got to thinking, well, maybe this is one of the traits that Jesus was thinking about when he said, we must become like children. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, in the New American Standard, "For if you forgive others for your transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you of your transgressions." So one of the traits that we need to have is to be quick to forgive. Also in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall a brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Well, Peter thought he was actually being pretty generous at the time. And I'm sure he was shocked when Jesus responded saying, "I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." And yes, we'll be some crossover in Trace's sermon this morning. So we must forgive those that wrong us. Tough to do. And Jeannie's always saying, You did a good sermon because you didn't step on my toes today. Well, I might be stepping on my own toes in this sermon, possibly yours as well.
Amen.
Are you quick to forgive? God expects us to. Children are also loving. There are few things outside maybe of a puppy which are more loving than a child. Now, I had an intent of having some of the younger children come up forward and sit on the front seat, but they're not here tonight. But you can remember these children that play around here. They're just so loving. And I'm thinking maybe one of those are one of the traits too that Jesus was talking about that we should have. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that if you love one another, even as I loved you, that you will also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. In Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve in unity the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4, 11 and 12. Beloved, if God loves us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And in 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot possibly love his God who hasn't seen. So this, I think, is definitely one of the traits that Jesus was thinking about when he said we should become like children. Otherwise, we have no chance of entering the gates of heaven. Are you loving like that? God suspects us to be. Children are pure. You look at a child, and they're as pure as the driven snow. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. Also in Proverbs 21 and verse 8. The way of a guilty man is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. In the New Testament, Matthew 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, from his Sermon on the Mount. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. In Titus 1:15, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. James 3 and 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, But to those who are defiled, correction, a pure and then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And finally, 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Are you that pure? God expects us to be. Children are most definitely dependent on their parents. If you have teenagers or had them, you can definitely testify to that. A child is so dependent on their parents for food and shelter and clothing protection. Matthew, this is a long read, Matthew 6:25-33. And this is a very familiar passage. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, not for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food? Is not the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap, gather into barns, and yet your Father, Heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about your clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. And why are you worried? Correction. And they do not toil nor they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Psalms 89:26. He will cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and my rock of my salvation. Matthew 7:9-11. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or when he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give to you what you ask him? 2 Corinthians 6:18. And I will be your father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And in James 1:16-18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there are no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought forth us forth by the word of truth, so that you would be kind of first fruits among his creatures. Do you depend on God? God expects us to. Children are also accepting of others. Watch children as they interact among each other. They see right past the outward appearance, any infirmities, scars, deformities, and they look at who the real person is. Watch children. It's just like oblivious to them. They may ask, what are those scars for? What's that for? And then it's gone. And then they're looking and interacting with the true person. I think maybe this might be another trait that Jesus was thinking about. James 2:1-9. My brethren, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there some, or there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel. And there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. And you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? If you are ready, or you really fulfill the royal law among the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law of the transgressors. Are you accepting of others? God expects us to. Children are very inquisitive. If you have children that's gone through the twos or threes or whatever, what's their favorite word?
Why?
And we get so tired of that. Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? And what's our response after a while? Because. But that's how they learn. That is indeed how they learn. We get tired of it, but it's a necessary thing of their development. And I think Jesus wants us to be inquisitive. Because in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Matthew also 21:22. All things that you ask in prayer, beloved, you will receive. In Luke 3:10, and the crowds were questioning him, saying, then, what shall we do? They're inquisitive. Luke 8:9, his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. So they were wanting to know. John 14:12-14. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater the works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, then will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. James 1:4-6. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And in James 4:3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Are we inquisitive about God, his will for us, his commandments? And not just the milk of the word, but the meat of the word. God expects us to be. Children are most definitely teachable. This is closely coupled with them being inquisitive. Children truly love and want to learn. They are like the proverbial blank magnetic tape that is ready to receive something recorded on it. Luke 11:1 tells us it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. They were very teachable. Luke 12:11-13. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how you will, what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring it to your remembrance all that I have said to you. There's numerous accounts of in the Gospels where the Jesus' disciples were gathered around listening as Jesus taught. I was thinking, in my mind's eye, how people flocked to the Lord, how they were just hanging on every word. I know I would have been. And what a voice he must have had. But his disciples were very teachable. They were learning from him, and we always, in hindsight, we look back and say, how could they not get it? Well, we've got the benefit of knowing the whole truth from the start to finish. I think we would have been the same way at the end when he was being crucified. Are you teachable? The Lord expects us to be. Children are quite trusting. A child implicitly trusts their parents. They have full confidence that their parents will love them, take care of them, protect them, and only have the best intentions toward them. I think Jesus wants us to be trusting. In Psalms 4 and 5, offer the sacrifices of the righteousness and trust in the Lord. Psalms 24, correction 22, 4 through 5. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. And still in Psalms 25 and 2, O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. And in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I see this a lot on posters or things of walls of businesses. It's really nice. I like that. In Isaiah 26 and 4, trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. And in the New Testament, John 6, 67 through 69. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter got it. He got it. Are we that trusting in our Lord? God expects us to be. Children have a desire to please. They are so eager to please their parents, and they don't want to disappoint. All they want to do is make their parents happy and proud of them. I'm thinking this might be one of the traits that Jesus was thinking about when he said, become like children. Matthew 17:1-4. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we be here. If you wish, I will make you 3 tabernacles here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I brought this up in my first sermon, how Peter was just so easy to please, or so eager to please. Now, a lot of times he said things he probably wasn't really thinking about, but he was eager to please the Lord. He thought that it would please the Lord if he said, let me build 3 tabernacles. And it was when God called him down and said, listen to my son. And Peter realized he probably shouldn't have said anything. In Matthew 26:31-35, then Jesus said to them, You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. I'm certain that Peter believed what he was saying. He wouldn't lie to the Lord. And he was eager to please. He wanted Jesus to know just how dedicated that he was. We know, like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, that he did indeed disappoint the Lord. Are you eager to please and not wanting to disappoint our Heavenly Father? God expects us to be. Children are kind and tender-hearted. There is nothing more sweet than a kind and tender-hearted child. In Luke 10, 30 through 37, this is the parable of the good Samaritan. I'll read a portion of it. But a Samaritan was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more that you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell on the robbers? And he said, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do the same. We are also to be kind and tender-hearted, just like that good Samaritan. Ephesians 4 and 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And in Galatians 6, 9 and 10, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do all good to all people, especially to those of the household of faith. Are we indeed kind and tender-hearted like that? Like it's described in these verses? God expects us to be. Children are innocent. Now, when I say by definition innocent, I mean without evil or wrongdoing. Sure, they misbehave and disobey their parents. Trust me, they do. But because there are aforementioned pure hearts, they are truly innocent. Innocent of the desire they're innocent and they desire to do what their parents want them to do. And I think this is another trait that Jesus had in mind that we should have, the innocence of a child. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights of the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. In 1 John 1 and 5 through 10, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Are we innocent like children? God expects us to be. And finally, children obedient. Generally. And this is followed closely with being innocent and is obedient. Children do desire, they truly do, they do desire to be obedient and live within the guidelines laid out by their parents. They may grumble. We'll have to take back that one verse we just talked about. Oh, do they grumble? But they truly do want to live within guidelines. I once said that to be useful, water needs a glass. Otherwise, it just runs everywhere. Same as a child. They need the guidelines and the confinement of rules to live within. Otherwise, they run everywhere, too. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the great commission that Jesus gave the disciples, and therefore us, to be obedient to him. Acts 2:14, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to him, men of Judea and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. This is the beginning of the first gospel sermon preached by Peter. And therefore, the immediate following of Jesus' great commission. In John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Are you obedient to the Lord? God expects us to be. So to become like children, I picked out just 12. They were quick to forgive, loving. Children are so pure. They're dependent on their parents, they're accepting of others, and they're inquisitive. Also, they're teachable, trusting, desire to please, kind and tender-hearted. They're innocent, and they're obedient. I don't know about you, but I definitely have work to do in every one of these areas. No comment, Gene. But I think we all do. We're all a work in progress. And God knows that. And going back to 1 John 1, it's the intent of the heart. If the intent is to be pure, if the intent is to walk in the light, and we do that, we're going to stumble. We are going to stumble. But thanks be to God that we do not have to be perfect. Jesus was perfect for us. He walked that perfect life. He lived without sin, reproach. No one had any accusation that was correct and wasn't falsehood on him. And Jesus did that for us. He lived that life for us. Because we couldn't. And we needed that perfect, sinless sacrifice in order to wash us from our sins from us and we could have a hope for eternal life. So continue to work on these, as I shall. If you're a child of God, but you've fallen away, then you need to rededicate your life because you're not walking in the light. Because God can't have sin in his presence. He's the perfect judge. He's loving. He's long-suffering. He's patient. But he's the perfect judge, and he cannot have sin in his presence. So if you have sin in your life, you need to purge it, repent, and rededicate your life to him. And get back on that path under the blood of Jesus. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, now is the perfect time as we together stand and sing.